In Johannesburg today, on the sidelines of the Earth Summit, Iraq's Deputy Prime Minister Tariq Aziz spoke briefly with UN Secretary General Kofi Annan. Aziz described the meeting as an exchange of views. Later, he told reporters Iraq is prepared to cooperate with the United Nations and consider the return of weapons inspectors, but he urged an end to sanctions and the restoration of Iraqi sovereignty over all its territory.
All these issues are being dealt with together, equitably, reasonably. We are ready to cooperate with the United Nations, and we are ready to explain our position in a reasonable manner to all those concerned. If the question of so-called weapons of mass destruction is a genuine concern by the United States, this matter could be dealt with reasonably, equitably. But if it is a pretext, in the end they will use whatever pretext that remains in their hands to attack.
Members of the Bush administration have held public discussions of Iraq in recent weeks. Commentator Edward Haley believes there must be a better way to create foreign policy.
The Bush administration is trying to build domestic and international support for its plan to invade Iraq, but it's not working very well. Part of the problem is that the anti-Saddam strategy has been run backwards. It would make sense to identify the Iraqi threat in a credible way, nurture support carefully at home and abroad, and end with an invasion. But the administration began by announcing it would invade Iraq, and now it's trying to find the reasons and support to do it. That's what Vice President Cheney was assigned to do in some recent speeches. He says Saddam Hussein has resumed building chemical, nuclear, and biological weapons. He calls the Iraqi dictator a mortal threat to the United States, who must be overthrown. But the vice president hasn't persuaded Congress. And international doubters include not just the entire Arab and Muslim world, but Russia, China, and Japan, as well as our most important allies in Europe. Meanwhile, President Bush keeps trying to win over international audiences with the same kind of rhetoric he uses with his political supporters at home. The president describes those who disagree with his strategy on terrorism as not belonging to the civilized world. He calls this moral clarity and celebrates it as a peculiarly American virtue. He says the United States is the single surviving model of human progress. But every hymn of praise to American values pushes our allies farther away. The United States has been attacked and we're fighting back. And it's important to make known what we're fighting for. But I can't help comparing Bush's What We Are Fighting Fors with those composed by Franklin Roosevelt and Winston Churchill during World War II. They sought unity based on freedom from fear, freedom from want, freedom to work and to worship. Americans and people around the world could identify with those four freedoms. But few other nations will identify with the truculent, inward-looking, defensive set of ideas that President Bush is putting forward now. The constant talk about unilateralism is turning the United States into a bully instead of a beacon of hope. And the administration has turned Saddam Hussein into the Fidel Castro of the Middle East, a wily, somewhat slimy dictator who constantly outwits and makes a fool of the Americans. There is no doubt that Saddam Hussein is a menace to the Gulf states, to Israel, and to this country. And there is no doubt that the administration is serious about getting rid of him. But the way they've gone about it is so clumsy that they've left themselves with two unattractive choices. Lash out and invade Iraq on our own, or change the way they think about governing and making foreign policy. At the moment, it doesn't look like they can do either one.
The comments of Edward Haley, a professor of international strategic studies at Claremont McKenna College.